Michael and I will be reading the passages of today from 2 Kings, and then we will have a song in between, and from the Gospel of Mark. And forgive us if we get a little emotional. Michael will share further during sharing time, but we received news late last night before we went to bed that one of Michael's very best friends died very unexpectedly. She's our age and has a 7-year-old daughter. And so these stories of healing touch us in a new way this morning.
So this is 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy.
Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy."
So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel."
He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy."
When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me."
But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel."
So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house.
Elisha sent a message to him saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean."
But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage.
But his servants approached him and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?"
So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean.
And now from the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 1. Verses 40 through 45. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45.
A leper came to Jesus begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean."
Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, "I do choose. Be made clean."
Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was made clean.
After sternly warning him, Jesus sent him away at once, saying to him, See that you say nothing to anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them.
But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country. And people came to him from every quarter.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Pray with me. God, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for your faithfulness to speak to us through the scriptures. And so we offer ourselves and these moments to you, God, and we ask that your spirit would be our teacher. And we ask, God, that we would not just gain information about what the scripture says, but that as you work in us, that we would be transformed, that we would be changed, that more and more we would become who you desire for us to be, that more and more the life of your Son Jesus would be evident in our lives. And so we pray this, God, in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm wondering, what's the most difficult thing that you've ever done? The most difficult thing that you've ever done. And I'll give you a moment to think about that. The most difficult thing that you've ever done. I was trying to think about that myself this week. And one of the most complimentary things that Sue says about me is that I have a facility for learning languages. And I think that she says this because I lived in Texas long enough that I acquired some Spanglish. But I love languages, and I love learning about different cultures and learning about different ways of life around the world and learning words and phrases in different languages. But learning a language in a classroom is incredibly hard for me. When I was in school, I took French, and it seemed like that was just about the hardest thing that I would ever do. And then I went off to college and then to seminary. And in seminary, you learn Greek and Hebrew. And so you're learning completely different alphabets. And for me, that was just incredibly difficult. And I didn't do a very good job with it at all. You won't ever see me pulling out my Hebrew Bible and just reading it page after page, because I can't, because that's incredibly difficult for me. What are some difficult things that you've done in your lives? What are some things that have been difficult for you?
Giving birth to my twins with little painkiller.
Okay. Giving birth to twins with not very much anesthesia. That sounds incredibly difficult. Okay, and we're not inviting anybody to top that, but just if you've got something difficult that you've done that you want to share.
Telling my parents that I was quitting my job when I had just bought a house to go to seminary, even though I had no idea why I was going to seminary.
Okay, so quitting the secure job that you have to go to seminary and not having a very good explanation for why that was going to happen and telling your parents about that? Yep. Anybody else? Okay. Yes, training Pepper to work with you and to be your service dog. Yes, indeed. Anybody else?
Nursing school. It's not done yet.
That's right. Nursing school, I can imagine. Yeah. Okay. Moving to the South Bronx, moving to a huge city after you'd grown up in the country. Yes, indeed. Anybody else? Well, the story that we're looking at today is about someone, Naaman, who thinks that he's doing something incredibly difficult. He's all prepared to do something incredibly difficult. If you look at Naaman, He seems to have it all together. He is professionally accomplished. The text says that he's a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded. Now, Naaman is like a lot of us. Naaman seems to get his sense of self and his value as an individual from what he accomplishes and from what he does. And so people around him value him. They say he's an incredibly competent commander. He's led the armies of the king of Aram to victory. And so because of that, he has a high position in the kingdom. He has the ear of the king. He's respected. He's valued. He's looked up to. He's an important person. And so because of that, Naaman thinks that life is going to work in a certain way for him. He has figured out that when you're an important person, things open up for you, possibilities open up for you. But there is something in Naaman that his success can't help him with. There is something in Naaman's life that his professional ability can't help him with. There's something in Naaman's life that the esteem of those in the midst of whom he lives can't touch. There's something in his life that no matter how respected he is, no matter how much people look up to him, no matter how valuable his employer thinks he is, it doesn't help at all. There is something broken in Naaman. There is something torn apart in his life that none of that can help, that none of that can touch. Something in Naaman's life that no amount of success or esteem from others, no amount of effort on his part could fix. Now I wonder if you're like that. If you're someone who, because you've experienced a lot of success, because you've worked hard, because you've been effective in what you do, you've kind of fallen into the attitude of thinking, if I try hard enough, there's nothing that I can't get around. There's nothing that I can't fix. There's nothing that I can't change. There's nothing that limits me. As long as I try hard enough, as long as I work hard enough, as long as I put everything that I've got into it, inevitably, I'm going to be successful. That's the way our culture is designed. Our culture is designed to reward that kind of intense, personal, individual effort. And so we tend to organize our lives around that. And we tend to think if we just work hard enough at something, then things are going to work out, that things are going to happen like we want them to. Naaman knows that that's not true. Naaman knows that no matter how hard he works, he's still going to be a leper. He's still going to have this disease. He's still going to have this affliction. And he can be the greatest army commander that there is, but he's still a leper. He can be as valuable to the king as anybody else in the kingdom, and he is still a leper. He's still broken. There is still something about him that none of his effort, that none of his industry, that none of his success can touch. That's a hard moment in our lives when we have that experience, when we realize that there are things in us that can be broken, that none of our success, none of our achievement, none of our effort can make whole. And that can be a desperate moment because we're used to being able to fix ourselves. We're used to being able to improve our circumstances. We're used to being able to achieve our way out of difficulty. But Naaman has gotten to the end of what he can do for himself. Now, Naaman has leprosy, and the word there is a word that gets used for a lot of different skin diseases, but the thing that we know about leprosy is that it wasn't something that you could be treated for successfully.
It wasn't something that you could avail yourself of the medicine of the day and be cured. It was something that no amount of treatment could touch. But also what we know about leprosy is it's something that separates you from other people. It distances you from your family. It cuts you off from community. It makes it impossible for you to live a normal life. And there are ways of being broken that are like that. There are hurts in us that are like that, that they may not have an outward sign to them like leprous spots, but they distance us from the ones that they love. We love, that they cut us off from community, that they isolate us, that they make our lives places of loneliness. And so Naaman was afflicted with this disease that had made him unclean, that had cut him off from community, that had cut him off from family. Now, there's one more thing about Naaman that is important to recognize. Naaman is not a Jew. Naaman is not one of the people who worship the true and living God. Naaman is part of this other country. He's part of this other belief system. And that's important to recognize because Jesus points that out in Luke chapter 4. He talks about Naaman and he says, you know, there were lots of people at the time of the prophet Elisha in Israel who had leprosy, but whom did Elisha heal? Elisha healed Naaman. And that's a reminder for us because all too often we try to limit the sphere of God's care and compassion. We try and say that God loves people who are like us, that God loves people who are already loving God, but we recognize in Naaman, Naaman reminds us, Naaman is a sign for us that there aren't any limits to God's love. It doesn't matter what your faith is or if you have no faith at all, God loves you. And God wants to work in your life. And so because God doesn't put any limits on God's love and compassion, neither should we. But Naaman is longing to be healed. This is the one thing in his life that he desperately wants to change. This is the place where he needs there to be transformation. This is the place where he needs there to be new life. This is the place where he desperately feels that he needs to be touched. And I wonder this morning, what's the place in your life where you are longing for God to touch you with healing grace? What's the place inside you? It might be physical, it might be emotional, it might be spiritual, it might be about a relationship, but you say, God, if you could only stretch out your hand and touch my life and bring healing. So we'll come back to Naaman, but consider the leper who comes to Jesus. He runs up to Jesus and he kneels before him. And he says to Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you want me to be, I can be healed. Jesus, if you wish it, if you will it, then what is desperately broken about me can be restored. What is unclean about me can be made pure. And this leper has just absolute faith and trust. He doesn't come to Jesus and say, you know, I'm it's kind of a 50-50 thing. I think there's a possibility, there's a contingency. It might happen, Jesus, that you can make me clean, that you can heal me from this leprosy. I've heard good things about you. The reports are good, and so I'm just kind of hoping that you can make me clean. No, he comes to Jesus and he says, I am certain of this, that if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, here's the thing. There are a lot of times in life when we don't have that kind of faith, right? When that's not the kind of faith that we have, that we don't have that absolute trust in God, that we don't have that complete confidence in God. There's another place in the Gospels where a man comes to Jesus and his daughter is very sick and he's afraid that she's about to die. And he says, if you can do anything, come and help. If you can do anything, come and help. And Jesus looks at him and says, if I can do anything? And this man's response is incredible. He says, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe. Help my unbelief. And I just encourage you that when I first read that story years ago, God really spoke to my heart in that. And that has become a prayer for me, that a lot of times I come to God and I'm incomplete in my trust of God. And so my prayer is, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my faith to grow. Help my trust in you to grow. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you're not like the leper, if you don't find it in yourself to have complete trust in Jesus, just to absolutely know that he can touch you and make what's broken whole, that's all right. That's okay. Come to him anyway. Come to him anyway, just as you are, with your heart, a mixture of faith and doubt, and just say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help the doubt to shrink. Help my faith and my trust in you to grow. Because I need you to touch me. I need you to make me whole. I need you to bring life and wholeness into my life. You know, some translations say that Jesus was indignant. And then some translations say, like the one that we read, that he was filled with compassion. You kind of wonder what would have made him indignant, this fellow coming to him and asking him to be healed. I don't think so. I think that what makes Jesus indignant is when people are trapped by their circumstances, when they feel like there's no way out, when they feel like there's nobody who is for them, when they feel like they're all alone. And then Jesus does this incredible thing for this leper. He does something amazing. He reaches out his hand and he touches him. And this is amazing, and you have to watch for this. Look at the sequence of that. He doesn't say, be healed, and then stretch out his hand and touch him, does he? He stretches out his hand and touches him just as he is. Sick and broken and diseased and cast out from community and isolated from his family. How long it had been since someone had touched that leper? And Jesus reaches out his hand and touches him. How many people do you and I know who are like that leper, who are longing for someone to touch them with compassion, for someone to reach out and care for them just as they are? What would it be like if you and I could become that hand of Jesus that stretched out to touch people and to say, you know, just the way you are with your life a complete mess. Just as you are in your pain, in your brokenness, just as you are in your sickness, I'm going to touch you with love and compassion and care. Jesus wasn't worried about catching anything. Jesus wasn't worried about getting leprosy. I think sometimes as Christians, we're afraid that we're going to catch something, right? And so we hold back. And we say, well, you know, if they were a little more together, if they were a little more okay, you know, I don't want to get involved. I don't want things in my life to get messy, so I'm going to hold back. But as followers of Jesus, we're invited to do the things that Jesus did. We're invited to open up our lives and let Him live His life through us. And that means that Jesus wants to use your hands, that He wants to use your life to reach out and to touch people that no one else is going to touch, that everyone else is afraid of getting entangled with because their lives are messy. But Jesus says, go ahead and reach out because your hand will become my hand. Jesus reaches out and touches him. And he says, I am willing. Be clean. That is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the hope that we have. That as much as we need healing, as much as we are broken, as much as we are desperate, that even more so, there is God's love and God's fierce compassion that comes to us in the person of Jesus, who reaches out to us, who doesn't wait for us to get it together, and who comes to us and touches us and says, I am willing. Be clean. And so that's the good news this morning. That in the place where you are most broken, in the place where you are most needy, in the place where you are most desperate, that Jesus is reaching out toward you to touch you with healing and compassion, to bring wholeness, to bring new life. Now, Naaman shows up there at the prophet's house, and he shows up literally with hundreds of pounds of silver and hundreds of pounds of gold, and he's got all this clothing, and he thinks that, you know, maybe this guy, Elisha, he probably works the way that everything else that I've known in my life works. I just need to buy what I need. I need to impress him. I need to make it worth his time to heal me. And so he comes with all this money and all this stuff. And he's got an expectation for what that healing is going to be like, doesn't he? He says, you know, the prophet's going to come out of his house and he's going to pray this really impressive prayer, and he's going to kind of wave his hand over the spot where the leprosy is, and I'll be healed. And when it doesn't happen like that, when the prophet stays in the house and just sends word to him, he gets mad. He says, I was all prepped to do the hard thing. I was all anticipating doing something difficult, and he just wants me to go down to this muddy river and to dip myself in it 7 times. I could have stayed home. I could have taken a bath at home. I mean, what's going on here? Unfortunately, he has some wise people who work for him, and they say, look, You know, if he had asked you to do a hard thing, if he had asked you to do something difficult, you would have done it, right? So why not do this simple thing that he's asking of you? And a lot of times we think like that and we feel like that and we say, you know, if I really want God to work in my life, then I've got to make it worth God's while. I've got to do something impressive to impress God and to attract God's attention and to focus God's, attention on me so that I'll be rewarded. But that's not how God works. God doesn't work in our lives because we impress God. God heals us because God loves us. And you don't have to do anything to get God to love you. You don't have to do anything elaborate or extravagant. You don't have to do anything to get God to care about you. God loves you just exactly the way you are. And so God just says to you, go and wash and be clean. Jesus stretches out his hand and touches you and says, I am willing. Be clean. So don't let your thinking that you have to do something to draw God's love keep you from the healing touch of Jesus. Hear him say, I am willing. Be clean. Amen.